Okay, so Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is an imperative, but I would call it a very dangerous imperative. It's an imperative for many different reasons. One conventional reason that's given is because Ein Somchen al Hanes. Hashem doesn't want us to rely on miracles. I understand that to mean that when a miracle happens to a person, it uses up a lot of his credit, a lot of his schusim. And Hashem doesn't want it to use up his schusim. He wants it to, it should happen b'derech hateva, so it shouldn't have to use up his schusim. The schusim should remain for him the keren kayemes lo'ilam habo. So because Ein Somchen al Hanes, so you have to do ishtablus. One reason. Another reason some people learn from the Pasuk, we read it, I think, last week, B'chol asher ta'aseh, that everything that you do in this world, there's a certain chiyuv to do on your own, and then Hashem does his thing, but he wants us. The Chavis Halvova says, because, the Meiri says, because atzlus is a very bad midah. Because if we wouldn't be mishtadl, we would just sit around and do nothing, be atrophy. Chavis Halvova says even worse. Says, we wouldn't do anything. We'd steal, we'd do things inappropriately. We're bored out of your mind. What are you doing? Imagine if we never had to lift a finger to work. Who knows what would be. So in Mela, there's an
Indian. Kind of more.
What?
Yeah, okay, kind of
that
more.
Seems is a very beautiful ideal. But Tachlis is not so posh. It's certainly not for everyone. So anyway, so there is an obligation of Ishtablus, unless you're on the highest level of bitochon and connection with Hashem, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was, that he didn't do any work, he sat and he learned, and his needs were provided miraculously. The Gemara in Brochas over there, Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, says, Arbe Yosu Kein, Vlo Olsa Biyodom. Many people try to do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Didn't work. It ain't so push it. You have to be on such a high level that I am completely and totally dependent and focused and reliant and confident and in dovuk b'Hashem. And if you're not on that level, so then we better stick to Rabbi Yishmael's formula, who was the one who offered the other opinion. V'asafta d'gonecho v'siroishcho v'yitzarecho. The person has to learn, has to do mitzvahs, but he also has to work and that's the psak halacha for most of us. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says that people have to be like super tzaddikim before they're excused from the union of ishtadlus. Now, how much ishtadlus? That's always a big question. How much ishtadlus? So here is very opinions and complications and confusions in halacha, and it's very hard to completely clarify this, and everything depends, of course. These things are not clarified in Shulchan Aruch for a very simple reason. The Keset Mishnah says that about midos, because everybody's different. It depends on the individual, it depends on his feeling, it depends on his confidence, it depends on his level. So you can't clarify it. Shabbos, you could say, this is a malacha, this is forbidden, this is a takona, but this is the brocha you have to make on it, but you can't do that on things that are dependent on so many human variables. So we have to figure out for ourselves the inyan of ishtadlus. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta writes in the sefer is called Eben Yisrael, I think it's Drush Gimel in Eben Yisrael, that the shir of ishtadlus, it's to make it efshal b'derech hateva. And he says a very logical thing. He says, since the ishtadlus is because we shouldn't rely on miracles, so you have to be mishtadl enough to make it that you don't need a miracle. It could happen, al piderech hateva. Not that for sure it's going to happen, because that you have to rely on Hashem. But it could happen, al piderech hateva. So I'm not relying on miracles, because I created enough circumstances, enough basis, enough effort that doesn't need a miracle to happen. Will it happen or not? That I have to rely on Hashem. But that's one approach. The Beis Halevi in the parasha there with the whole Maisa with Yosef, Parshas Vayigash probably, I think it's Vayigash, the Beis Halevi writes that the amount of ishtadlus should be enough that you should be able to have bitochen. That's the measurement. In other words, I mentioned this. Let's say I have a budget that I have to raise X amount of dollars. I can't find the strength to have bitochen that I'll raise that many millions of dollars by doing absolutely nothing. But I might be able to find the strength that I could raise that money by a certain amount of time each day, by a certain limited amount of effort. So that amount of effort that you need in order to be able to be confident and reliant on Hashem that the result is going to come about, that's what he says is the shear of bitochen. I heard from my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, that he said today, you know, these things depend a lot on our level of bitochen. We may not have such levels that with a minimum amount of ishtadlus, I can have bitochen. So he felt that the level of ishtadlus should be to do everything that's permissible, but not beyond. In other words, to what is permissible to do? Now, permissible, I don't think he meant just not to steal. Because also, besides not stealing, I have an obligation to take care of my children, I have an obligation to daven, I have an obligation to do other things, to learn. So it doesn't mean that the hishtadlus should be, but it should be that which does not require you to go away, to violate or to neglect or negate any of your personal, human, familial, or religious responsibilities. But then you should be mishtadl. So we need a little bit more hishtadlus. Now, the problem is that the more hishtadlus that you do, the bigger the danger. Because with minimal hishtadlus, I certainly have to rely on Hashem, because it's not up there chateva, nothing's gonna happen here. You know, it doesn't, it's beyond my imagination that anything should happen with the amount. I'll work an hour a month, all right? And I want to make half $1 million a year, working an hour a month. I know people who would love to do that, but it's not reasonable. It's not even reasonable to work an hour a day and to think I'm going to make $500,000 a year. You know, you ask people who've made money, they usually, you know, usually they work hard. So now, the more you work, the more you tend to think that, oh, it's me, I'm doing it. Every effort that I put in, so I take away from the focus, because the focus of bitochen will be, I sit here like this and wait for Hashem to do it. When I do something in the process, so I'm sort of compromising that focus, and I'm saying, it's me, I'm doing it. If I hire good people to do the job, I'm relying on the good people. If I'm more talented, I'm more capable, I'm more intelligent, I'm more gifted, whatever it is, I think, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, I got an MBA, I got two MBAs from Harvard. Well, that's it, that's me. So the more hishtadlus that we do, there is a grave danger that can compromise the bitochen. Okay, and in reality, we have to know, and everybody seems to agree on this, that it isn't the hishtadlus that makes things happen. It's the bitochen. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the tefillah. It's the schusim. And the hishtadlus is a mitzvah that we have, as we said before, because Hashem doesn't want us to rely on Nisim. Because Hashem doesn't want us to sit around doing nothing and being lazy. Because Hashem doesn't want us, if we're doing nothing, who knows what else terrible we may do. Because we have to have the ishtadlus, like the Beis Halevi says, in order to be able to reach that level of bitochen. But the ishtadlus itself is not the cause. It's a mitzvah bifnei atzmoi. Because that's what Hashem wants us to do, not to rely on miracles and so forth and so on. But it isn't the heftza that does it. The heftza that brings about is the bitochen. Much as we did this Gemara 2 weeks ago, where the Gemara says in Nida Daf Ayin Omid Bey says Horoitza sheyisasher yarbe bischira. You want to get rich? Do a lot of business. Yeah. And the Gemara adds, "V'yisa v'yitein be'emuna," and conduct your business with integrity. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, "Harbiyosa came for also the other." Many people did it; didn't help. Elo, you should ask for rachamim from Hashem. And then the Gemara says, "And why did it say you should be marbe b'schira, because it's a tenai, you have to do that too. But in reality, the Gemara is very clear. Rashi learns pshat like that in the Gemara. It's toloi berachamim. Everything, the results of toloi berachmi d'shmayo, and the hishtadlus is only a tnai for whatever reason, maybe the reasons that we mentioned, and maybe there are other reasons, and so forth and so on. Interesting, I just want to point out, that in the hishtadlus, to be rich, there were two things. First of all, yarbe bischoiro. I mean, put in a little more effort than you would normally just to have a survival business. Yarbe bischoiro. In other words, it says if you want to be rich, yarbe bischoiro. If I want to be, let's say I just want to make a comfortable living, I don't want to be rich. So you don't have to be marbe bischoiro. You have to do schoiro, you have to do business, you have to work, but not necessarily to be marbe bischoiro. You want to be rich, so there's a greater level of hishtadlus, but that level of hishtadlus, as the Rosh Hashiva indicated, is balanced by the yisa v'yitin be'emuna. Don't you dare do anything that's not honest, because something that's not honest is an inappropriate hishtadlus, and an inappropriate hishtadlus is not fulfilling the mitzvah of hishtadlus. Maybe it's like a mitzvah bo baveiro. You're trying to do the hishtadlus, but I'm cheating, lying, fooling. Da, 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 da. That's it. The yisa, two things. Yarba b'schoiro, the yisa v'yite b'emuna. So we see that there are gedorim in the hishtadlus. However, whatever I do, I'm marba b'schoiro, and I'm doing it, I'm yisa v'yite b'emuna. But I can't help sometimes but feeling, you know, I mean, it's very simple. I did a deal in business. I closed the deal. Oh, was I good? Was my presentation top of the line? Did I get this guy's number early on and know exactly how, in a good way, I didn't do anything dishonest, but exactly how to talk to him and how to smile at him and how to, you know, manipulate. All right, that sounds a little bit not so much be'emunah, but, you know, there are good things too, and it's all for his benefit. It's a good deal for him. You know, it's one of those real estate deals where nobody's completely happy. Everything is fine. You know, so oh, wow. I come home at night and I say, wow, what a talent. What a talent. I look in the mirror and I say, very dangerous. Because then I have come away with a completely falsifying the essence of what it's all about. Because it's really all about Hashem help me do this deal. And to the degree that I prayed to him and turned to him and counted on him and hoped to him, refused to give up hope from him and trusted him and relied on him and was confident in him, it's to that degree that the success came about. So my efforts are very nice and I did a good effort. And I should feel good that I did the mitzvah of hishtadlus well. That's true. If I performed the chesed, I performed the chesed well, person feels good. Hey, I did this good. I did it the right way. I made the person feel good. I did it, went about it the right way. I didn't make them feel bad. I gave tzedakah in a way that really they felt good about it. You know, if I give tzedakah by giving someone a job instead of giving them charity, oh, avada, he feels good and I feel good. Everybody, that's fine. But I can't feel good about the results, because the results are from Hashem. So the danger of hishtadlus is the fine line between I did it and he does it. And that's a very, very, very fine line. Because the more that I do, the better that I do, the more competent I am at doing it, the more effort I put in at doing it, the bigger the nisoyon to forget that it's him and to really fool myself to think that it's me. So here is a very, very important factor to keep in mind too, that a hishtadlus which is going to bring me to that point is an inappropriate hishtadlus, and therefore I'm not doing the right hishtadlus. So one of the danger of hishtadlus raises a question in halacha. I find that the hishtadlus that I do, I'm so good at what I do that I find my hishtadlus is convincing me that I'm doing it. I would say, no, he's doing 60%. Give me 40%. He's doing 70, I'm doing 30. Oh no, maybe I'm doing 60, he's doing 40. But then that's an inappropriate hishtadlus. then just like v'yisa v'yitin be'emuna is, if it's not be'emuna, it's not appropriate shtalis. Here I would say, this is without emuna, different kind of emuna than the Gemara was talking
about.
There's
no partnership at all.
What's that?
There's no
partnership. Yeah, no partnership. Well, he's a minor part at best. You know, Hashem. No, it's a minor part.
In other words, we're not even partners. That's
right. I'm doing it. I'm the managing partner. That's the danger. Our Ishtadlis has nothing to do with it.
But he said realistically, you're not even considered a partner. Not you and Hashem.
That's Lamaisa. Realistically, I look at myself as the managing partner. He's the silent partner. He's in the background. He's in the heavens. And I'm doing the work down here, and he's just helping me along, you know. He's giving me some cues. He's throwing me some bones. And that is a big danger. Therefore, I would suggest that Lamaisa, even Halocha Lamaisa, when a person has to evaluate how much Hishtadlus he has to do, he should try to make sure that it's not only is the Hishtadlus honest, Yisav Yitin Be'emuna, but it has to be a Hishtadlus which is realistic in terms of not fooling myself to think that I'm really doing it. And sometimes I have to back off from Hishtadlus in order not to send myself that false message. And it's a very interesting consideration. I would say that just the realization of this consideration can enhance the bitochon, because at least when I do something, I stop to think, "Hey, am I overdoing it?" And overdoing it also says I don't have bitochon, and maybe I think, you know, I get the sense as I'm engaging in this that I'm sort of looking at myself rather than at him. Correct it. Make a mid-course correction. Do something fast or stop, because otherwise you're going to be doing a hishtadlus, which is not just not a mitzvah, it's an avera. It's wrong. It's not the proper hishtadlus. The proper hishtadlus is a hishtadlus which will allow me or not interfere with me at all to realize that it's all from Hashem, just as the Gemara here says. Talks about tefillah, which is related to bitochon, and it says, really, it's toli barachamim. Bitochon certainly is toli barachamim. We say in Shemoneh Esrei, yemu rachamecho Hashem elokeinu, arouse your rachamim, and what should you do? And respond to the Baalei Bitochon. It requires rachamim. When a person puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem looks at him and says, so he's counting on me. I can't disappoint him. How can I let him down? So to hear, when we want, we know it's all totally in rachamim, we've got to be very, very careful that we don't want to do anything that'll make us lose sight of the rachamim, or even lose sight of the proportion. If when I went into this deal, I would have thought that I'm 10%, he's 90%. And as I'm doing the deal so well, I'm beginning to think I'm 20 and he's 80, I'm 30 and he's 70, I can't count so much, I'm 40 and he's 60, and I'm 60 and he's 40. Better stop, better be careful. Either you got to walk out of the meeting and do a little musr to get yourself back on track, or we got to leave the hishtadlus altogether, because there's a danger. And when we do that danger, we are not fulfilling the tnai. And the Gemara says, really, it's totally in rachamim. Except there's a tnai that you have to do it. But if you're doing the wrong tnai, if you're doing the tnai improperly, it's not the proper thing. So this, I think, is a major consideration, that when a person does hishtadlus, he should always look at the responsibility to do hishtadlus, which I have. He should look at hishtadlus as a mitzvah bifnei atzmoi and not helping Hashem along. And he should also realize, I got to be careful that if I'm overemphasizing my role or my capabilities or my accomplishments or my ability to accomplish in hishtadlus, then I may be undermining my connection with Hashem and ruining the whole thing. You know, Rabbi Saul Salanta, I think, had one, and the Chofetz Chaim had another, I think. The Chofetz Chaim's marshal, I think, was somebody's on a train. And he has to get to a very important appointment. The train's not going fast enough for him. So he goes to the front of the car and he pushes on the wall. Na Reina, what are you doing? You're doing your shtadlus. Nothing. And if anything, what's it doing? It's fooling you to think that you're making a difference. You're fooling yourself. That's one. Rabbi Saul Salanta, I think I once saw the name of Rabbi Saul Salanta, gave a different mashal. A guy is sitting on a wagon, with some other people. There's wagons driving, the horses, and he's holding a big box. So he says, why don't you put the box on the floor? I don't want to make extra weight for the horses. What are you talking about? You know, you have it. You win it. No shaykhis. This is the way we think. So that's one thing. I just like to
add. The shtalus is what? Light, you mean? It's what's like that? You're not making a dent? Is that?
Yeah, the shtalus, what are you doing? You're not doing anything. It's the same thing. The horse is drawing.
You're not making a dent.
Lahavdil. Between Hashem and the horse. But the horse is drawing this wagon. And no matter where you put it on the floor, you put it on your seat, the weight is there. He's doing it. You didn't accomplish anything. You didn't accomplish anything by pushing it. That same thing. Okay. Now, I'd like to just take this one step further. One step further. And that is as follows. A personal incident and a famous incident from the Brisker Rov. This Shabbos, I had the occasion, it was a very nice occasion, to spend Shabbos in Passaic. I had an old friend there from my childhood, my youth, and a long time ago. I went there for Shabbos. And I was told by a couple of my chevra who know Passaic, who live in Passaic, whose parents live in Passaic, Friday afternoon, you better start early, because you can get stuck in traffic for hours. And he even told me, like, for every 10 minutes late that you leave, you got yourself another half hour on the road, you know, as it gets more into the rush hour. So I left pretty early, and fine. I heard the weather that it's supposed to rain Shabbos. And I thought originally when I heard it in the morning, I have this Shana coat, you know, and I'll take it along, you know, be prepared for the rain. It's like, you know, the best thing they have so far for us. Anyway, so I forgot it. I left it home. And I remembered a little bit into the trip, and I said, I'm going to go back and get it. I said, no, I can't take a chance. I'm going to go. We'll see. I'll manage while it's rain. I'm not made of sugar, you know what I mean? We'll manage with the rain. The kids, sir, oh, did it rain? Let's not discuss how miserable it was. We had to walk to a far shul there. I had to speak there. And it was like really, anyway. So,
but you I was a spare coat? What? You didn't have a spare jacket?
They had, I wore one of these Niagara Falls things, you know. They had one of those. So
made out of mist.
Yeah, so I didn't mind looking like that, but it didn't do very much, you know. Anyway.
It's only good for mist.
What? Yeah. That's right. Anyway, so I was thinking to myself, I said, what was going on over there? Inside Echod, I was concerned about Shabbos, you know, getting stuck in traffic and this, and getting there on time and this. Mitzad Sheni, that concern, which was begether Hishtadlus, was really compromised by Midas HaBitochem. Because I should have said, hey, you know something? The Seichel is, I have a coat like that, I should bring it with me. I am going to set myself back 15 minutes or whatever it was to go back and get it. Havel bitochon. Hashem takes care of the derech. He makes feats.
Well, have you talking about rain?
What?
Have you talking about
that's
rain?
That's a little harder because they were sure it was going to rain.
Yeah, they don't
they
know.
I think I had a better chance. I'll be there on Teva to make it before Shabbos with the traffic than that it wouldn't rain tomorrow. You know, and this, yes, I figured like that, especially with Waze. And then, you know, like, so I figured that, okay, fine. So I think that was a mistake, and I paid a minimal price. I'm not complaining, you know, just water. What's water to ruin the hat amongst friends, you know what I mean? But anyway, but here's a consideration. On the one hand, the ishtatlus, on the one hand, compromise the bitochon. So I remembered that there was such a maisa with the Brisker Rov. During the war, before he got to Eretz Yisrael, so the Reb Chaim Meiser had advised all the yeshivas and the Rosh Yeshivas ever to come to Vilna. Because they felt one place, everybody all together, it'll be safer, you know, during that period of time. So the Brisker Rov was there, and it could be even Ezra Primaries had passed away, but that became the kibbutz for the yeshivas. And he was there with his son in a barrel, and they mamish, there wasn't food to eat. It was a terrible, terrible matzav. But there was a woman who every day baked like a roll or a small loaf of bread, which was enough for him and for his son. And every day she brought it to them, so they had The Brisker Rav and his son had what to eat. It was the day before Erev Yom Kippur, okay? And the woman, when she brings the bread, she says, I'm not sure I'll be able to get tomorrow. She didn't have enough flour. She says, I'm not sure I'll be able to bring tomorrow. So the Rav had a shaila. He said, Mitzat Echod, tomorrow's a chi of min ha-toyra to eat. So, I should save some from today and not take what we normally eat, which wasn't that much, I'm sure, but save for tomorrow. Mitzat sheni, that's a chesaron and bitochen. Right? You don't have bitochen that you'll have tomorrow. Mishi yesh lo hayoyim, v'doeg lemochor, miktani emuna. How can you worry about tomorrow when you have for today? Right? So he decided, since it's a chi of min ha-toyra to eat, is mechuyev midin, the chshash of bittel, the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur, to put aside some bread for tomorrow, and they ate less, or maybe they skipped, or they ate less, I don't know exactly. Tomorrow the lady shows up, she managed to get the bread too. She managed to bring it to them. So he thought, that's what they say, Chira, I made a miscalculation. I should have had bitochon that I'll get it, and I should not have compromised that bitochon even for this consideration for a mitzvah. So, I don't know.
It's tricky, though.
What?
Right?
It's very tricky. It's very tricky.
I guess on his level, he knew where he was. So for me to do something like that would be
and I might say he didn't
negligent.
Do it. And he didn't do it. He right. didn't do it. He just right. thought after right. that he maybe should have. Whatever it is, I'm just saying. Right. But I'm just suggesting that these cheshbonos should be part of our reality, so we shouldn't be hurt by the dangers that could emanate from hishtadlus. Hishtadlus were done properly when I know it's just a mitzvah, when I know it has nothing to do with the results, and when I even see how well I did, I just know that's not what brings the results, then that's appropriate. But if I allow that hishtadlus to affect me and think, oh me, I have to do, I'm doing, I'm this, I'm accomplishing, then we have a serious problem, and the hishtadlus will be as if a person was marva bischoira, but he wasn't noisim and noisim be'emuna. He didn't conduct himself properly, so then the hishtadlus is not the proper hishtadlus, and that would make a serious problem. But I just want to end with a bone. Let's throw ourselves a bone, okay? A little bit of encouragement. I'm sure we've mentioned it here before at different times, but there's a very strange Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah. The Rambam says that there was a time, there were gzeiros against the Jewish people and the Greeks and so forth, and then the Ad Sherichem Aleihem Elokei Avosom, the Hitzilon Vohishion, I don't remember exactly the Loshon, but it says, until Hashem saw the tzoros we were having and He had Rachmanos on us, you hear, and He saved us, the Govar Bnei Chashmonoi, and the Chashmonoim rose up and became overpowered the enemy. The Hitzilu Es Yisroel, and they saved the Klal Yisroel. And I asked the question, who done it? did HaKadosh Baruch Hu save the Klal Yisroel, as the Rambam said, in one breath? And then he says, the Chashmonoim got up, they overpowered the enemy, and they saved the Klal Yisroel. So, it says both. It says about both that they saved. So l'chayra, I say the only way I can make sense out of that, it's like what you're saying, but with a little bit of a hezber maybe, is like this: when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that Klal Yisrael is to be saved, ki hu omar vayehi, you know, mashaolah b'machshavtoi is, how does it say, machshavtoi, we say by Shabbos, I forgot. It's a lotion there, but what he thinks, it's done. The only thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we do our hishtadlus, He credits us with the results. So it's a very fine balance. We should not credit ourselves, because when we credit ourselves with the results, we, in our own mind, undermine the realization that we're relying on Hashem and the bitochen in Hashem and the realization that it comes from Hashem, and we could destroy that whole appreciation and connection with Hashem. But the good news is that as far as he's concerned, in the history books, when he writes the minutes of what took place at that meeting, he's going to say, you did it. You do your eshtadlis, I'll let you get the credit. But don't you assume the credit yourself. Because when you assume the credit yourself, you forget about him. Just know that after I unassumingly finish this and give him all the credit and relied on him and realized and thanked him at the end or recognized that it came from him, at that point, you know, you can rest assured that you got the credit. And I would just conclude by saying that's the only way you can get the credit, because everything else is a debit. Everything else is a travesty of justice, because it's not true. The only way we earn the credit is when we realize that Hashem does it, we let him do it, we do our ishtadlus, and then he gives us the credit.